Welcome back. This is Mark Steiner reminding you the Mark Steiner Show is brought to you in part by MeQ, Baltimore's credit union, offering a full range of financial services. MeQ, Baltimore's credit union, is helping its members and its community prosper. When you invest in yourself, MeQ invests in you. Remember, it's a credit union, not just a bank. It belongs to you. Money comes back in the end. For more information, www.mecu.com. Or you can log on to steinershow.org, click on their banner. It's always there for MeQ, Baltimore's credit union. And reminding you to join us tonight at the Creative Alliance at 6:30, where WEAA will be hosting a panel called The State of the Arts. I'll be happy to be running that panel tonight with WEAA and all our friends here. It's a town hall meeting bringing together students, parents, arts educators, others to talk about bringing arts back to our Baltimore area schools. That's tonight at 6:30 at the Creative Alliance at Patterson. Come in and show up. Or you can get more information at 443-885-4391 or go to weaa.org. We're now going to talk about something that has been in the press a little bit, mostly in the business section, except if you live in Calvert County, it's all over the place. It's about the LNG facility, which we're about to describe. We're going to talk about this in three parts. The first part being with our guest right now, Tim Wheeler. Tim Wheeler is the reporter for Be More Green, the Baltimore Sun environmental blog, to kind of get a more objective look. And we'll also talk to folks who are working for LNG and also folks who are opposing it. So, Mike, welcome. Tim, welcome. Good to have you back with us.
Hey, Mark, how are you this morning?
I'm very well. So describe what's going on here, what this liquid natural gas facility is, and give us a little bit of the history from your perspective covering it.
Well, this there's a terminal in the Chesapeake Bay off of Calvert County, off Lesby, now that was built back in the 70s, 80s, during the original energy crisis, originally to import liquefied natural gas from overseas, because we seemed to have a shortage of it at the time, or at least there was definitely a market for it here. The tables have turned. The United States now produces a lot of natural gas. And the demand for it overseas is such that folks over there are willing to pay a very high premium for it. So the producers here would like to export it.
So where's the controversy?
Well, the controversy sort of revolves around fracking, hydraulic fracturing, the method by which a lot of natural gas is withdrawn. And it perhaps also revolves around global warming. There are those who see natural gas as a sort of a bridge fuel between other fossil fuels such as coal and oil, because it generates about half the greenhouse gases that those do when they're burned for energy. But others see hydraulic fracturing as a real environmental harm. And that there's a lot of greenhouse gases that are emitted in the process of getting it. The harm with fracking comes not just from the emissions of methane into the air, but there's a lot of belief that it disrupts gravelar supplies and other issues around that. So this terminal would export natural gas. They would have to liquefy it. They would pipe it down to Lesby and then liquefy it and put it on tankers and ship it overseas. The company Dominion, based in Richmond, already has contracts with suppliers in Asia, with buyers in Asia, to pay for it. And so they're dangling this for Calvert County as a huge economic boon for the county. They're promising to spend, over $3 billion, invest that much in new facilities there and put 3,000 people to work for 3 years building it and, hire as many as 75 additional employees to work there.
So, and there's a divide here in many ways. Many folks on the county council seem to support it. Unions do, clearly Dominion does, but there are a lot of environmental activists and citizens I've been watching in these community meetings that have taken place that are really kind of stood up and said, we don't want this. This is going to be too dangerous for us to have so close to where we live.
Yes, there are environmental groups that are raising concerns about it. There was a court battle last year. There was a dispute between the Sierra Club and Dominion, which Dominion won, though it's on appeal. Now the environmental groups are taking their case to the public and hoping to raise enough concerns there that that the various regulators who still have to give final approval to this project would perhaps withhold that. And they're generating some concern. There are homes that are not too far from there, and it's within about 5 miles of the Calvert Cliffs nuclear plant. So some safety concerns raised, as well as just sort of the general environmental concern.
Well, Tim Wheeler, it's always great to have you with us. Reporter for Be More Green, who comes often on our program here, especially during our Sound Bites episodes. He's the Baltimore Sun's environmental reporter. He writes the blog Be More Green. And Tim, thank you so much.
My pleasure.
We're about now to turn to our next guest, Bruce McKay, who is managing director of federal affairs for Dominion. We were going to have a debate, but you demurred, didn't want to have a debate. You wanted to rather have a one-on-one. So here you are, Bruce. So talk a bit about this. One of the things, and welcome to the show.
Good morning. Thank you very much. And about the debate, I think the last thing people want to hear is one more political argument. So I thought, let's have a back and forth and talk about some of the facts.
Well, sometimes debates can really bring more things out than we can in one of them. But we'll try. We'll do our best here. We'll do well.
Okay.
So here's the thing. Some of the arguments about this facility have to do with the jobs it creates and doesn't create. Let's just start there very quickly. Because it may create several thousand or thousands of construction jobs. Those are temporary. Are not ongoing, but only about 175 jobs full-time once it's done. That was one thing you said. But respond to that, but also in context of what you'd like to say.
Okay. I'd like to first, this being Veterans Day and having listened to your earlier segment, Driving Over, commend you for what you had on. And I'd like to add my company's thank you to the veterans that are returning home. We're part of a program called Troops to Energy, where we really get veterans placed in our company. We find them talented, dedicated leaders, and we're very proud of that. But first of all, the construction workers. But construction work, by definition, is temporary, unless you're repairing my kitchen, which seems to never end. But it just – so to say that several thousand construction workers' jobs don't matter for several years, no, that's not right. When the president wanted to get the economy going – he put in place a big stimulus program to looking for shovel-ready jobs to build things.
There was a finite time. The jobs are there. You have how many jobs in this facility once it's done?
There'll be 175 full-time jobs after that. And, a lot of the construction jobs will be union members that live down in the area. They're now having to travel regionally to work. They're very happy to be working locally for several years.
So talk a bit about and some of the people who stood up and said they do not want this Cove Point LNG facility built are saying that the 3.3 million tons of carbon dioxide that will be thrust into the atmosphere in the air is greater than what most coal-fired power plants emit in the state of Maryland now.
Well, that's a curious number that we've tried to figure out. It looks like if you took all the coal plants recently that have not been operating at full capacity, and you compared that to what our terminal might do if it was importing at maximum capability and exporting at maximum capability at the same time. Well, you won't be doing that. I would imagine if there was a financial incentive to import as well as export at the same time, somebody would get together and one of the two wouldn't happen. The point is, we don't need to import natural gas anymore. We now have more than we ever had before, and the ability to produce it for decades to come. So if you look at the export project only, it's much different than some of these numbers that have been thrown around.
But what about the process of kind of chilling, as they call it, to make the gas liquid for export? That's the process they're saying is going to be emitting the noxious gases, the carbon dioxide, into our atmosphere.
Well, we burn natural gas in the turbines that are used to run the compressors that take natural gas, lower it to 260 degrees below zero. That's the point that it becomes a liquid. And in doing so, it goes from 600 units, volumetric units, down to one. So it shrinks a great deal. You put it on a insulated ship, send it overseas, warm it up again, and you have natural gas.
Why do you think it was unnecessary to have an environmental impact statement on this? It seems that has not been part of the package, and there are many people that we've heard from in Calvert County who live there, especially there, because we're so very localized in our lives. If you don't live there, you don't even know what's happening, are really saying, look, whether I'm opposed to it or whether I say it's okay or not even sure if I like this idea, shouldn't we have a study saying what the consequences may or may not be?
Well, this project is going to have an environmental assessment done on it by the Federal Energy Regulatory Commission. That is one of 50 permits or so that we need to do, many of those environmental, federal, state, and local. There was an EIS done, an environmental impact statement done in 2006 when we expanded the project and we went outside the fence line, so to speak. Because remember, down there we have about 1,000 acres of land. We only use about 130 of it. For this project, we are not going to be using any more than the current 130. We're staying inside the fence line. So we're putting the equipment inside. That land has been analyzed thoroughly. So our application we filed at FERC for safety and environmental purposes was about 12,000 pages, much of that environmental. We filed thousands of pages more recently in response to questions and needs for clarifications. So by no means are we slipping this through without very thorough environmental analysis.
But there's not what people were arguing at the time meeting the other night was there will not be a comprehensive environmental impact study.
There will not be an environmental impact statement. That is one category of analysis that the FERC, again, the Federal Energy Regulatory Commission, the federal agency, does. In this case, they start out with an environmental assessment and during that process determine whether or not a more detailed environmental impact statement is necessary. A project three times our size down in the Gulf of Mexico in Louisiana that is under construction now, they were the first ones to turn their facility around. They, too, had an environmental assessment done, and that was adequate, and now they are under construction. So this is, we think, very appropriate for the type of facility that we are doing and the minimal impacts. We aren't impacting the bay. We are working only inside the existing fence line.
So one of the arguments that people make also about this beyond Calvert County is the question of hydraulic fracturing, which is a huge debate, you know, in the state of Maryland right now, whether or not it'll come back up in the legislature now, whether or not fracking or hydraulic fracturing is safe for the environment, safe for the people around it. And this facility adds to that because that's where this gas is coming from.
Well, one charge that has been made is that this will add pressure to drill and do hydraulic fracturing in Maryland.
Right.
Well, first, let's disagree that that's not the case. This will not be the determining factor there. This gas could come from anywhere. This region, it could come from the Gulf of Mexico. Up until the Marcellus became as prolific as it is today.
Marcellus Shale.
The Marcellus Shale, I'm sorry. It's just Pennsylvania and Ohio and West Virginia up into New York. We imported, if you will, a lot of our natural gas from the Gulf of Mexico through long pipelines. So it comes from all over the country. It doesn't matter whether it's produced locally or not. Yes, there are a couple of counties in Maryland that overlie the Marcellus Shale. That debate is going on appropriately in the legislature through a governor's study commission, and a decision will be made. That doesn't have anything to do really with this project.
Do you think that Dominion has done its what it could do its best in actually working and talking to the community? One of the critics, even with some of the commissioners in Calvert County, was that Dominion has not really sat down and worked with the community at all. Kind of people feel like they're being, it's like roughshod being run over the people themselves.
Well,
because the argument being that it's not a state county decision, it's a federal decision, so why should we have to talk to you?
Well, it's not quite that simple. The FERC, as I keep coming back to, they do one permit on whether to site a facility or not. You still have to comply with dozens of state and local permits. So we have to go through all that process. Could we have done more along the way, talk to more people? Absolutely, all the time. We tend to try to over-communicate. But if there are some people that don't feel they've heard enough from us along the way, let us know. We are going through and meeting with every community group that we can. It was 2 years ago that we filed the application, and we have done lots of outreach since that time. We held an open house to explain the project to the community a long time ago. The FERC came out and set up a microphone in front of a big room at a local hotel nearby, and dozens of community citizens came in and expressed their views on things that they wanted to have considered during the environmental assessment, sound, air, traffic, whatever. So there's been lots of input along the way.
This is a question that we only have this segment's about to end because we have to have the other side on now.
Yep.
But so I want to thank you very much for being with us here. Bruce McKay is Managing Director of Federal Affairs for Dominion. Thank you for coming to Baltimore and coming to the studio.
It's a delight to be here and to meet you in person.
Good to have you. Thank you so much. We're going to take a 15-second break and a little sound and come right back with our next guest, Mike Tidwell. Stay with us. Welcome back. This is Mark Steiner. We continue our conversation about the LNG facility in Calvert County. We are now joined by Mike Tidwell, founder and director of the Chesapeake Climate Action Network, who was with us last week. Well, Mike, welcome back.
Thanks for having me, Mark.
All right. And I know you were willing to have this debate, but here you are. You're stuck with me.
Well, you know, I thought it was interesting that Bruce McKay of Dominion said he wanted to stick with the facts. Therefore, he didn't want to have a debate with me or other community folks concerned about this Cove Point expansion. Historically, in our country, it's precisely through debate that we are able to discuss the facts, from presidential campaigns all the way down to, you know, city council meetings. But I think this is emblematic of Dominion's approach to this whole $3.8 billion liquefied fracking gas export facility in Calvert County. The truth is, Dominion doesn't want a lot of people to know about this. All you got to do is, if you know anyone in Calvert County, pick up the phone and call them. Or if you go to lovely Solomon's Island for a trip this fall, ask anybody you see, a storekeeper, anybody along the road. Ask them, do you know much about what Dominion's doing down here? Have you been invited? Are you aware of a community session where Dominion's explaining this? They will all tell you the same thing. They have been kept in the dark. I think Bruce McKay knows that. And the thing is, when he says he wants to discuss the facts, well, I've published an op-ed in the Washington Post about this.
Yes.
I've sent out emails. I put a lot of facts out there, and no one from Dominion, not one person, has challenged one fact that I've put out there. So I think the facts are out there. Dominion just doesn't like them.
So let me do this, Mike. We have about 10 minutes in this segment, and as we have with the gentleman from Dominion, so I want to get right into the heart of this. Let me read you an email that did just come in from Calvert County from one of our listeners whose name is Lily. Lily writes in, Dominion worked very quietly behind the scenes with local politicians well before local citizens were able to learn and decide for themselves. The Calvert County commissioners have made up their minds to provide nearly total blanket building and land use code exemptions to Dominion for any development, quote unquote, related to LNG import and export facility prior to even defining facility. When they had a public meeting on October 29th, they said they were there to listen to their constituents. About 7/8 of the speakers were strongly against the granting of exemptions. The commissioners then turned around and voted, as they had previously decided to do anyway, in favor of granting the code exemptions. The discussion is sadly missing as so many of our true issues. Mike?
Well, Dominion has worked very closely with the county council, who are very, very pro-build. This is a entirely Republican county council that has a point of view that is pro-development and, frankly, very little thorough concern about the environment, and that's coming through. When Bruce McKay from Dominion Resources says that they want to hear from the community, well, you just did, Bruce McKay. There was a letter from someone in the community saying the communication is not good enough. Bruce McKay says that Dominion has over-communicated to the community, and yet you just read that email. The reality is Dominion has no scheduled community meetings of any kind right now. No date has been set to communicate with the community at large. They are withholding a lot of the facts that are going to affect people in Calvert County. It will be the largest source of global warming pollution. It will be one of the largest construction projects in the state. It will require a 130-megawatt giant power plant just to liquefy the natural gas. It will require 80 to 90 additional tankers, massive tankers coming into the bay. And it will trigger more fracking. And it's not just me saying that. The US EPA says that.
So we had another email from Ann. Now I want you to respond to this. Ann now writes in, a recent MIT study showed Maryland has a higher death rate for air pollution than any other state, 113 out of 100,000. In the Baltimore metro area, including Calvert County, that's 130 per 100,000. The Cove Point Terminal in Lusby is already in an area that exceeds federal limits for ozone pollution. So I'm reading fast. I want to get through this, which triggers asthma attacks and worsens respiratory illness. The facilities that Dominion wants to build at Cove Point to liquefy gas for export would spew more ozone pollutants, belching 279.5 tons per year of nitrogen oxide and 33.2 tons a year of volatile organic compounds. As far as environmental impact versus environmental assessment by FERC, as your last guest just said, the environmental assessment is initially filed by the applicant, and the FERC analysis is based on the applicant-submitted data. Living in Myersville, which had an EA done in regard to a Dominion compressor station in our town, we are very familiar with FERC process, which we citizens find flawed, failed process, totally skewed to the benefit of the companies, and there will continue to be an infrastructure built out not only in Lusby, as companies try to connect to Cove Point through pipelines, compressor stations, metering stations, etc. Your thoughts, Mike?
Well, I mean, Bruce McKay was just on the air, on your show, Mark, and what did he say in response to citizens' concerns, real Marylanders who live here, their concerns about the environment? He pointed to Louisiana. He said, look, Louisiana had a facility like this being proposed, and they used a limited environmental assessment, not the full customary environmental impact statement. So Dominion is pointing to Louisiana as the environmental standard that Marylanders should embrace despite all these pollution concerns you just read about. Louisiana is ranked virtually last in all environmental protection. The oil and gas industry has just devastated that coastline, and this is according to federal documents. Everyone knows that Louisiana, I mean, look at the oil spill they had. Look at the sloppiness in oil and gas production. Dominion wants us to embrace Louisiana standards for pollution inputs, and that is just utterly unacceptable. I mean, your listeners know that. I know that, and we need Dominion to know it. At a minimum, why can we not have an environmental impact statement for our state on one of the biggest proposed pollution projects ever in our state?
Well, why can't we? I mean, why, even though it's a federal decision, finally, can't the state or the county demand it?
It is a federal decision. The states can certainly have their input. The US EPA sent a letter just last November to the Federal Energy Regulatory Commission where they basically said, you need to do a comprehensive environmental study that includes the possible increase of gas drilling. That's exactly what Dominion doesn't want to do. You just heard Bruce McKay for Dominion on your show say, oh, we're just going to stay on our 1,000-acre lot, and we had an environmental impact statement 10 years ago about that actual, you know, land footprint. But this facility that they're talking about now to export liquefied frac gas, it has impacts way beyond that 1,000-acre facility. That's because it will trigger more drilling for frac gas, according to the EPA and others. It will require pipelines through places like Myersville, like your listener just wrote in Frederick County. This is a massive infrastructure that will attend to this export facility, and that's beyond just the massive impacts in Calvert County alone. So we've asked Governor O'Malley to write a letter to FERC saying, look, you know, we need a comprehensive study. We need citizens to contact FERC and do the same. And there is evidence, there has been precedent that FERC has yielded to community voices in situations like this.
Let me get a quick call in here. We have like 4 minutes left in this segment, and I want to make sure that that Ms. Tidwell has it. Mike has a chance to talk about what comes next. But Dave, you're on the air. Let me ask you to keep it short and to the point. Welcome.
Thanks, Mark. I appreciate that. Mike, great job you do. I'm aware of some of the work you do over there at the Chesapeake Climate Action. What Bruce McKay is just doing is spinning for corporate media. There's nothing new here. Whether it's a Republican or Democratic council down in Calvert County, it really doesn't matter with the corporatization of both federal, state, and local political bodies. The best bet probably is to sue them in either administrative court on the federal level or in the federal circuit here in Baltimore. Otherwise, going through FERC, the precedent set in FERC, really, I'm not too sure that that's the way to go. We can start a letter-writing campaign, but really, they had this previously in Baltimore, I think, several years ago, and it was defeated. So we know that it can be defeated. And as for fracking and natural gas, anybody who hasn't seen some of the documentaries or some of the reports of water coming out of spouts, you must be living on the planet Mars. I mean, to think that our future is in this commodity is just ludicrous. My vote is for NASA program on solar, and I'll end my comment right there. Thank you.
Thank you, Dave. Mike, tell us what comes next. Where are we with all this? We have like two and a half minutes left.
Well, there has been a statewide reaction to this that has been a negative reaction to Dominion's plan. There's currently a statewide tour going on. It's called the Crossroads Maryland 2013 Tour. We're going to be in Baltimore tomorrow night, 7:30 at MICA. At each one of these stops, nine across the state, we inform the communities about the impacts of the proposed liquefied frack gas export facility. So you can go to ChesapeakeClimate.org to get details about a tour coming to you. We have music, we have multimedia presentations, and a panel debate where we actually debate things instead of taking the view that Dominion has that debate somehow is bad. So discussion, it's great. So go to ChesapeakeClimate.org and learn when this Maryland Crossroads Tour is coming to you. And we have an alternative. We're not just against Cove Point and fracked liquefied export.
And what's that?
We're in favor of doubling clean renewable energy right here in Maryland. Instead of doubling down on dirty energy like fracked gas, let's double down on wind and solar. And that is, that's why we call it the Crossroads Tour. We can go down Dominion's path and have this become the biggest global warming polluter in the state, or we can go down a path of doubling wind and solar, and we can do it. There will be a bill in the Maryland General Assembly introduced in January to move our standard from 20% wind and solar to 40%. It's doable, and we can get that bill passed. That's our alternative.
Well, I'm going to tell you once again, Mike Tidwell, thank you so much. We will continue covering this. We will, of course, bring this up during the Annapolis Summit on January the 8th when we meet with the governor and the speaker and the president and bring this to the airways, and want all of folks from Mike Tidwell's group and others to join us in Annapolis for that, because it's our chance to kind of raise the issues that have to be raised. And Mike Tidwell, who has been joining us for this part of our program, is founder and director of the Chesapeake Climate Action Network. Mike, thank you again, once again, so much for being with us.
Thanks for having me, Mark. And remember, tomorrow night, 7:30, Tuesday night, Micah, join the tour.
Yes, absolutely. See you there. All right. Thank you.
Right. Bye-bye.
And thank all of you for being part of the show, writing in, calling in, and helping us bring in some new, vital, interesting ideas that we would not have had without your calls and emails. Reminding the Mark Steiner Show is a production of the Center for Emerging Media. Our producers are Mark Gunry and Stephanie Mavronis. Our engineer is Andre Melton. Our intern is Tashira Smith. To hear this show again, podcast all of our past shows, find out information about our guests, like the ones you just heard, information about what they're writing and saying, please visit us at our website at steinershow.org. You can also listen to and download all of our podcasts now on iTunes. And for Public Radio, WEAA 88.9 FM, the voice of the community, Michelle Martin and Tell Me More is next. And I'm Mark Steiner. Take care. And that is, by the way, Dave Alvin. It's his birthday. Take care.